Our next guest ditched her corner office as a financial planner to teach financial advisors worldwide why hiding behind spreadsheets is costing them millions. Today, you'll meet Katie Braden, the pilot-turned-video strategist who's proven that authentic beats polished every single time. She's here to share why your next client conversation should happen on camera, not email, and the surprisingly simple tweaks that make viewers lean in instead of click away. Katie Braden, welcome to Dealcasters.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
We are stoked to have you on for sure, Katie. And, you know, you're one of our favorite types of guests to have on our show, and I can explain. Because there's a lot of people in this space, podcasting, live streaming, and, you are someone that I would consider sort of outside of our industry. I mean, there's a Venn diagram that crosses over between sort of our audiences, so to speak. But I think a lot of people in podcasting, live streaming, content creation, they kind of have the same guests, the same types of guests, and it becomes this sort of echo chamber. And I love having guests like you that can help our audience, you know, from a different viewpoint, right? From a completely different industry. You know, there are some similarities across our industries, but you have a lot, I think, that can benefit our audience. I initially saw your stuff on LinkedIn, where you hang out a lot. And folks, you need to follow Katie Braden on LinkedIn. There's fantastic, valuable stuff and that she talks about. And I saw a lot of this stuff and I was like, well, she's talking about, you know, a Samson Q2U microphone. She's talking about, keeping the camera eye level. She's talking like the same stuff that Jim and I are talking about. And I'm like, okay. And I'm framing yourself for your presentations and I'm learning things from you. And then I find out you're doing this for financial advisors and not actually a content creator doing this for other people doing that. You know, you're actually doing this for financial advisors. So You go from managing all these huge portfolios for people to actually training people to do this video stuff. What was the switch there? What made you turn from doing just this, like CFP stuff, to training people to do video? What was it?
Yeah, so I have kind of been a lifelong contrarian. So whenever I see people go one way, I'm like, I'm going to go the other way. So I actually got a degree in photography in Australia. So Jim, you mentioned you got like a degree in finance. That was what all my friends were doing in high school. Everyone was like, I'm going to university. I'm going to get a degree in business, finance, economics. And I was like, how can I do the polar opposite? So degree in photography, went to Australia. Kind of more of like a degree in beer with a minor in photography is kind of nice. How it actually turned out.
Nice.
But then I was planning on staying there, graduated there. Immigration changed their rules. This was 20 years ago. And so the government gave me 90 days to leave, had to get a job. Yeah. And my mother actually owned a successful investment advisory firm. And so she was like, you need a job. I'm going to hire you. So total shift there. And so I was her succession plan. And then in early 2013, I left and I started one of the first completely virtual monthly subscription financial planning businesses because my goal was initially to be a world traveling photojournalist. I love cultures. I love travel. I love how big the world is and yet how small it is. And so I loved that my mom already had a virtual firm, but then I started a virtual firm and I was leveraging video. So I had a YouTube channel back in 2013 and I had video on my website and I had a really high close rate because by the time people got on that discovery call, they already had a relationship with me. They already knew me, liked me, trusted me. And they were like, where do I sign? And I was like, hold on. I don't know yet if I like you. You like me, but this seems to be a two-way thing. Slow down. So I just realized like that was pretty cool. And so I started kind of coaching and consulting advisors all over the world. And then I eventually decided to wind down my practice because I was like, I really love that creative side, right? So I got a creative degree and I love working with advisors. I don't love analyzing portfolios and all those things. I was like, life's short. Let's do what we love. And then honestly, kind of brilliant timing when I was trying to figure out exactly what I wanted to do, COVID hit, everyone went virtual, had no idea how to do it. And my goodness, like everybody developed the worst habits. And that was 5 years ago, right? But it's like, nobody knew what they were doing. So they just like kind of set it all up. But nobody ever paused to say, actually, I should probably break those bad habits. And so that's kind of my mission now. So my tagline on LinkedIn is helping financial advisors stop sucking on video.
I saw that. Yes. That's it. That'll get your attention. It's also a lofty job. That's one of the things that Jim and I noticed, you know, during the pandemic, of course, you know, you and I are similar in the fact that I worked remotely prior to the pandemic, and I had staff that was located all over the country. And I was like, we're doing remote meetings. You know, like you're going to put a camera in the conference room, right? And I'm going to be remotely, you know, joining this, and there's going to be meetings, and people are like, well, we're not going to be able to do that. I was like, well, what if I told you you could dial in from home? Oh yeah, cool. I can be in my pajamas. No, we're having meetings. This is, you know, you have to be professional, at least from the waist up, you know.
I would say on the top. Business exactly. On top, party on bottom.
And so I was training these people.
No, I don't know.
Sure. You know, let's do that. And so, you know, so you had this similar advantage. Like for years you were doing all of this stuff virtual. And I love how you said, hey, wait a minute. I know you want to do business with me. It's my turn to see if I want to do business with you. So how does that conversation go?
It's, you know, kind of getting to know people. So I kind of actually filter through a lens of my rule is I don't want to work with anyone that I wouldn't invite to a barbecue.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So if you think about it, it doesn't mean you have to be outgoing or funny, but you just think overall, like, do you get along with people? Are you courteous? Are you thoughtful versus people that are, you know, rude or condescending or don't treat people well? I wouldn't want them at a barbecue and I wouldn't want to work with them. So to me, it's always more of a sort of personality characteristics fit with who I work with, whether it was in my financial planning business or now working with advisors.
Yeah, because so often it's like people have the money to spend on whatever services that you might provide, but you can kind of smell a bad client, you know, through a process for sure. And it's like, I don't know if I'm that thirsty for the money at this point. I think, you know, we've all had some bad clients and you sort of figure out how to qualify or disqualify them. So you're a very interesting person and you've traveled all over the place, right? So is there a common issue that folks have when it comes to this, regardless of their country? You know, because we're so U.S. focused most of the time, but is there anything that you have, you know, because you're much more global than Jim and I are, is there something that's common across U.S. and ex-U.S. territories?
I would say if I broke down to three things, three is kind of my favorite number. I have like a rule of three for everything. I would say fear, imposter syndrome, and perfectionism.
Mm. Wow.
Definitely just like human traits, right? Trying anything new, putting yourself out there, and especially putting yourself out there on video, right? People just get terrified. Even people that are really good at speaking and have experience being successful, you know, keynote speakers. I have coached them on video and, you know, done like remote recordings with them. Once that little recording light goes on, I kid you not, they will forget their own name. Like our brains just kind of break. It is a totally different experience to record a video. And you are very literally staring into a black hole and trying to like stay energetic and be happy and engaging. And that's a really hard thing to do, especially when you're getting started. And so for a lot of people, it's just like you try it once, it's not easy, and you just never want to do it again.
Yeah. Too many people quit. Right. It's like going to the gym. It's like, boy, I really want to get into shape. Well, cool. You need a plan and you need to continue to go multiple times in a row and stay consistent. And in a lot of ways, it seems that that's the case. In your world, why do people quit doing video?
Honestly, it really does just come down to fear. Like, it's funny. I actually had a call with an advisor this morning. He's like, I'm sorry. He's like, actually two of them just today, two. We're like, this is kind of turning into a therapy session. It's like, okay. We get in our own heads, right? And so we watch it. And the thing that I tell advisors all the time that's really tough to hear is what you think about your video doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
You know, so we watch videos or like record them, watch back, and you're like, I sound like that. I can't believe I sound like that. I look like that, right? We are hands down our own worst critic. And so we think, I'm never going to put this out into the world. Or they do put it out and they only get two views and they're like, everybody hated it. I'm like, well, nobody even watched it. So that isn't the case. But my goodness, we are so freaking hard on ourselves.
Yeah. And you know, Katie, would you say, because I know I've done some recent events, and it's like when you ask people, and so I'd be curious, what do you think the percentage is? All these business people like, hey, how many of you are using video? And I'm surprised how low the number still is, even after the pandemic, after thinking about the fact like, hey, you know, you're going to have Zoom meetings. And one, a lot of people still suck at that. Let's be frank about it. Would you say that it's still a low percentage of advisors that have embraced video?
Incredibly low. Like, honestly, wow. Truly, if it's even 5%, I'll be shocked, because it's not. And they're just not doing it. And it's also like that analysis paralysis, right? So people kind of come at it from two angles of like never getting started. They're like, I'm going to get started. And they think they have to have, you know, the $1,000 camera and $800 microphone and then have everything set up perfectly. And I'm like, cameras don't create content, right? Microphones don't create content.
Right.
Like, just use what you've got. I mean, really, these are so much better, right? I have a degree in photography. My parents, to be fair, spent a lot of money on cameras. And this thing right here is better than all of those professional cameras I had 20 years ago, right? So it's like, again, it comes down to an excuse. And so people just get stuck and they're like, I'm going to do it later. I'm going to do it later. They make it way more complicated than it needs to be.
That's so true. So someone's out there right now, and they're like, okay, I know I need to do video. I know it's going to, you know, turbocharge my business, or it's going to help me connect, you know, with the people that I, you know, what kind of process do you take someone like that through? I would imagine, like, if somebody's reaching out to you for your services, they already kind of know they need video. They just need those practical kind of, you know, building blocks in addition to the reps, right? So what does that process look like for you? Someone that's just like, they got a laptop and they're doing Zooms and we can count their nose hairs and see their spinning ceiling fan. And, you know, they look like they're in witness protection and they're like, Katie, help me. What kind of process does that look like for you?
Yeah. So I love that you keep using like gym analogy, because that's what I tell everybody. I'm like, to me, and I think about this every day that I'm in the gym, and I'm like, man, I keep coming. I haven't gotten the results I want, but the only way I'm ever going to get to where I want to be is to keep going and staying consistent. And so I talk with a lot of other, even marketers in, you know, financial services, and they'll say, oh, look, like, we help advisors with video and we send them all the equipment and we send them scripts and we send them everything. And they're like, and they still don't do it, or they're terrible. And that's because the most important thing is building that solid foundation and getting comfortable. So
we'll get right back to the show, but first I wanted to tell you about the School of Podcasting, the number one place to learn about podcasting, brought to you by the amazing podcast Hall of Famer, Dave Jackson. I'm a member, and it's a fantastic place for podcast courses, a super helpful podcast community, and unlimited podcast coaching. The link to check it out is here in the show notes, or you can head on over to sop.dealcasters.live and tell Dave that Dealcaster sent you. Now back to the show.
Even in the beginning, you mentioned that I'm big on like authentic video. And by that, I mean, I always want anybody on video to show up exactly the same as you would as showing up at a barbecue or meeting a client for coffee, right? People are always like, should I be wearing a suit and a tie? And I'm like, well, if I come to meet you as a prospect, are you wearing a suit and tie? And they're like, no, I would never. Then why would you wear a suit and tie on video? Right? So like, we think that we have to have this professional mask on, but you just need to be you and you need to get comfortable with it. And the only way to do that is through repetition. You are never going to get comfortable or good at anything the first time you try it, right? Baking sourdough bread, probably burned it or turned out terrible. First time on pickleball, maybe you, I don't know, pull a hamstring, right? It takes practice. And I think we kind of forget that learning to be on video and leveraging video is an entirely new skill. So I always tell people, I'm like, get started, try to get like a small group. So like I have my advisors that I work with, right? I tell them, I'm like, this is your sandbox. We're just here playing in a sandbox. And I give them kind of homework assignments of just 1 to 2 minute videos every week that they're just sharing in the group to get started. Because A, recording is hard, but also actually hitting that publish or send button can be terrifying. And so getting it out into a group with other people where I want you to make every mistake, but then I want you to hear from other people who are going to say, wow, that was really cool. And I loved your emotion. That was a great background. Meanwhile, you're sitting in there just critiquing yourself. Hearing from other people like that was great. And then I tell advisors the next step is to do one-to-one videos. So ideally with, you know, existing clients, or you can do it if you're comfortable with prospects, right? Somebody books a discovery call, shoot them a quick video. I do this every time somebody books a discovery call with me. I shoot them a video. I'm like, hey, Chris, I saw that we have a call on Thursday. Really looking forward to it. Just want to take this opportunity to, you know, kick off. Let me know what you're most looking forward to getting out of that call. Really look forward to hearing back from you. Have an awesome afternoon.
Boom.
Right. And doing it on, I use Video Ask for that so that they can actually send a video back. And then they're like, wow, that's different. I'm like, can you imagine if every advisor did that? It's a total differentiator.
Yeah. And so speaking of Video Ask, I have to pull this up. And we played this, you know, in the intro. And by the way, for those of you who are listening only on the podcast, Katie's website is advisorvm.com. Fantastic website. Great source for a lot of stuff, regardless of whatever industry you're in, but especially for advisors. So I'm going to hit play on this video because I think, well, first of all, it is powered by Video Ask. And so this kind of gives you the idea here. And Jim, this looks a little bit like relatable, right? Because you have you can select ABC on this video. But I'm going to hit play because I think this is a great way, a great intro video for someone to have on their website, because what the rules are, like, you know, tell them who you're for, right? And then also tell them who you're not for, and do it in a way that I thought was you know, ultimately was very Katie. So here we go.
If you are a great financial advisor or financial planner who wants to level up your business with video, doesn't take life too seriously, and follows the golden rule, then hi, I'm Katie Braden. However, if you have conversations on speakerphone in public, leave restrooms worse than you found them, and only go the speed limit in the left lane, then I must bid you adieu. If you're still here, let me know how I can help you by selecting one of the options below.
I think that's an amazing video. It's short, it's sweet, it shows your sense of humor. It's very likable and, you know, relatable, which is a product that Jim's an ambassador for as well. We do have a chat here from our friend here, Davidson's All Natural Gym, says that I love that you keep using the gym analogy. Also, it's like a free plug for my channel. Laugh out loud. Yeah, we just plugged you, Davidson's All Natural Gym.
Fabulous.
Yeah, whatever. Jim, go ahead and give him your Venmo for that free plug.
Oh, God.
It's great stuff. And so, okay, you were talking about authenticity, right? And so I think a lot of people, when they get, you know, when they open up their YouTube, right? And now there's a lot more podcasts, there's a lot more, you know, solo talking heads happening, right? And so the first thing that somebody sees when they hit YouTube is the best, right? It's like, this is what YouTube is serving up as quality content. And so that, you know, people look at that and, you know, whether it's imposter syndrome or perfectionism or they're comparing themselves that I'll never look like Katie Braden on video, right? And they think that, and that's that helps them, you know, get defeated. But somebody that says, hey, be authentic, doesn't mean show up without a shirt on. You know, you mentioned showing up at a barbecue. It's like, you don't see me drinking a beer on Dealcasters, right? Even though I might do that at a barbecue. But where's the line, right? So how do you maintain the authority, especially for a business like yours, which is typically more professional than what Jim and I are kind of doing? So where's the line so that, you know, people will actually feel like you want to be yourself, sure, but you don't want to show up, you know, with your PJs on. You want to be somewhat professional there. How do you work with people to find that line between the professionalism and, you know, sort of being authentic, if you will?
Therapy. Lots of therapy.
All right.
It is a hard thing, right? And so I entered the industry when I was, 21 years old, and I looked like I was 15, and I worked with my mother, and I would go to conferences, and honestly, 99% of the time, people would literally say, oh, that's really sweet. You brought your daughter to work today. And I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, bite your tongue. Right? So I had to overcome a lot, and I got a degree in photography. Right. So I don't have a finance background. Like, I had to overcome a lot of this, but I realized the more I was the same person showing up, even in my virtual meetings, that I was, you know, hanging out with friends, I was having clients come to me, you know, with 10 million plus, even when I had my own financial planning business. And I was like, wow, right. People want to build relationships with other people. And I think a lot of advisors and humans, we kind of have like this weird sort of perception of, we think like, oh, people that are multimillionaires or, you know, have 10 million plus, that they somehow all only walk around in three-piece suits and have everything perfect. Like, that isn't true, right? I mean, I know we've had a lot of news today. I was going to say Elon Musk, just in terms of like how he dresses. We don't need to get into any other topics about him today. You know what I mean?
Like, that's okay with us.
400 billion, right? Just dress super casually. So there's a lot of kind of internal work that has to happen to say, you know, be comfortable with who you are, because your knowledge is going to come through, and you are the same person, whether you are wearing a $2,000 custom suit or you're wearing a, you know, golf t-shirt. And so making sure that is something that people get comfortable with. And I think that's really important, whether you're doing everything in person, whether you're virtual, hybrid, it doesn't matter. I just think it's such an important part of, you know, being a professional and building relationships, because otherwise, like, we kind of have this mask on. I think that's when a lot of advisors, and really people in any business, will end up, you know, thinking that they have to take on clients that aren't the good fit, because maybe they do have, you know, an ideal number of assets, or they're going to be a high paying client, but they're not going to be enjoyable to work with. And you're going to feel like you always have to kind of be this certain version of you, which just gets exhausting.
Oh, God.
And I know so many advisors that did that, right? And wore the suits and did everything. And then they finally were like, I'm over this. And then their businesses took off, right? And they worked with way better people. So it's just a real mindset shift that I've never seen go poorly for anyone.
We'll get right back to the show, but first I wanted to tell you about Social Media News Live. Jeff C. and his amazing guests will keep you up to date on what's happening in this entire changing world of social media. They talk with industry experts and innovators and creators about the latest social media news, tips, and tactics, and they broadcast live so you can ask the questions that matter most to you and your business. Jim and I love this show, and we know that you will too. Head over to socialmedianewslive.com. Hey, tell them Deal Caster sent you. Now back to the show.
Yeah, Katie, I guess too, question I would have, kind of going back to Chris's question about authenticity, especially on video, do you recommend that they, like we're doing right now, right? We're not using a script. We're just having a natural conversation. Do you tell them, you know, instead of like sitting there and reading a teleprompter and make sure you don't miss any words, just like, look, just speak from the heart, speak what you know, because it goes back to what you talked about earlier too, like that the perfectionism piece, like, oh, well, I forgot to say this word and they're never going to know that I know all this. What's your view on that?
So I was not a fan of scripts at all for a really long time, because I found in 100% of cases, advisors that I talked to that went and, you know, paid somebody $10,000 and they drafted this script and they were, you know, rented out a studio and they had all the cameras and the lighting and everything was absolutely perfect, they never wanted to watch that video again because they didn't feel like it was them, right? They didn't build that foundation of actually getting comfortable yet. And so I was kind of very against scripts because I was like, people just aren't coming through in their natural ways. But then I learned how to properly leverage scripts. So for some people, if you don't give them a script, they are going to go all over the place. And it is not going to be valuable or engaging content. They're going to have way too many stumbles, right? And you're going to be like, I don't know what to do with this. So it's about using a script the right way. And so my number one, I have very few non-negotiables. one of my non-negotiables is you have to read your script out loud, full volume, at least twice before you hit record. Because even if you write it yourself, most people don't actually realize we speak and write very differently.
Yes.
So even if you're not using AI and you're sitting down and you're writing 100% of the words from your own brain in your voice, when you read it out loud, you're going to be like, I don't talk like that.
Nope.
That doesn't sound right. Like, where are the pauses? Where are the natural things? So once you do that and format it, formatting is huge. Formatting it properly for a teleprompter so that it reads naturally, also super important.
There's a great video you did on your YouTube channel. It speaks just like that. And you show your teleprompter and shows what you're highlighting, because those are visual cues for you to that tells your brain this is how you're to speak when you get to this point. And someone like myself needs an outline, or else, you know, my squirrel brain goes into 48 different directions and, you know, it's off the rails in no time, for sure. Using a teleprompter is one thing you just said, I got to back up a little bit. One thing you said is you have someone take the outline or the script and read it out loud. So at full volume, because I think a lot of times we'll get a script, or we'll, you know, use our AI friend and it gives us something that really looks great. And then all of a sudden you're saying words like delve and game change. And you're like, I don't say those words.
Please don't say game change. Don't write game change. Don't say game change. Also, don't say you're not alone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are so many things that unfortunately AI has ruined. Those are you know, the rocket emoji, so much for the rocket emoji. I mean, I really did like it every once in a while, but now forget it. M dashes. I don't know what do you think about using M dashes now? I mean,
well, if you go back and look at my writing from eighth grade, like I used them all the time. And now I'm like, you killed them for me. Like, why?
Yeah, it's funny. I've seen some folks on Substack talking about, like, they always wrote that way. And now people are thinking, oh, you must be using AI because you have these dashes in there. It's fascinating.
Our friend Dave Jackson, School of Podcasting, my podcast coach, and we had him on the show a few weeks back, says, talk like you write, write like you talk. And that is that in lots of times, you know, I end up just hammering out something I'm going to say like a psychopath on a Google Doc and use that as what I'm sending or posting on LinkedIn. Because a lot of times it's just like you said, it's just not you. Like, I would never say that out loud. And I'm going to start to do that. Like, I don't do that enough. I don't speak it out loud at full volume. And I think that's a great practice. Do it twice, right? And the thing is like, once you do that, you end up spending more time correcting whatever the outline is than if you just had just maybe done it yourself. AI sometimes is not necessarily a huge help when it comes to some of this content. Any thoughts on that?
It can. So I'm a huge fan of AI. I teach AI, but I like, and working with financial planners, right? So I'm like, look, if you guys get bad data in, it's going to be bad data out. Same thing with AI. Like, if you don't tell it enough, then it's going to give you crap. And I mean, I can spot every LinkedIn post that I know was AI and nobody, you know, adjusted it. And I'm like, going back to a gym analogy, the way I always describe it to people, I'm like, sometimes doing nothing is better than doing something poorly. And so every time I go to the gym, I'm sure you both have seen this, you know, when people are like on the treadmill at a 15% incline, but holding on for dear life at the top.
Exactly.
And you're like, you're not actually working out, right? You are not getting the benefits of doing a 15% incline for 45 minutes, but you're going to go into the office that day and you're going to tell everybody, you know, I was doing 15. I was like, no, you didn't.
I ran a marathon like this. Yeah.
Right? And like, that is not how the world works. So we do still need that human element. But again, even without AI, the way we just sit down and write and the way we talk is fascinatingly different. And so the other thing I've been telling people to do, I can type really fast, but I actually do 98% of all of my text now is voice to text. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm texting on my iPhone, whether I'm messaging clients in Slack, my emails, my LinkedIn posts, everything because then it really is me, right? So now yeah. I am writing the way I talk because I am literally just talking all day long.
So we're going in a million different directions, and that's why we do this show live. But I was thinking about this as well, is that, you know, one of the biggest reasons why your content caught my eye is that we talk about this all the time, that it's not your microphone, it's not your camera, it's not these things that you can really think are, you know, just sort of roadblocks for you to create content. So I guess I wanted to take it into an equipment sort of area with you, because, you know, I could see your Samson Q2U, and let me just go ahead and flex as well. I've got a few of these Q2Us, and the Samson Q2U is available in the Amazon carousel as well. You heard me, Amazon. And it's a fantastic mic. I got it on sale for $45. I think it's $60-$70 maybe now. Yep. It's worth every single penny. Fantastic microphone, plugs right into your computer. This is just one of the many things that that you look at and you talk to people every day. Like, you don't need Joe Rogan's video podcast suite in order to do these things. So can you talk a little bit about the equipment conversation with your particular clients and how that might apply to our audience as well?
Yeah, so I do tell them, and you guys know full well, right? The most important part of video is actually your audio.
Ding,
so
when
we think
winner.
About right, financial advisors and financial planners having very, you know, intimate, sometimes very emotional, serious conversations with clients, I always start with advisors by talking about how are they showing up in their virtual meetings. So before even saying, you know, you're doing YouTube videos or anything, just how are you showing up? And again, if we think back pre-COVID, do you know how much money people spent on like interior designers and artwork and chairs and debt? Like, people spent a crazy amount of money. And now they're like, I have to buy a $60 microphone? Yes. Yes, you do. Because it is important. And so when, you know, your clients or prospects are showing up on a call, if you sound like you're Timmy that was dropped down a well and everything is echoing, right? And people can't like listen to what you're saying. Like, we need to eliminate all those distractions.
Yes.
So I'm always telling them, I want you, right, to show up on video the same as in person. And that means making sure that people can hear you, they can see you, right? If you were in a conference room and like the sun was blasting in the window, you would close the shades.
Yes.
Right? You wouldn't make it so that they're staring at that. So we need to take the same level of care with our virtual meetings. And then once that setup is good, great. We're good for, you know, doing videos beyond that. But audio is always the first thing. The second thing is, I was going to say a bad word, just framing. Right? I don't know why people are so in love with their ceilings.
Does it also start with a letter F? Was that the bad word that you were going to say? That's okay.
I was like, I don't know if this is a PG-13.
It's like when you see the people like this, right? And
yes.
they're hi, guys, how's everyone
Hello,
doing?
I'm a foot and a half tall, yeah.
Right? And again, like, so then I always tell people, I'm like, look, if you're in a conference room, we've all done it, and you sit in a chair, right, and the chair drops down here, mm-hmm. you don't spend the rest of the meeting that way. You adjust the chair so that you are sitting across from the table, right? So we always want to see kind of, I tell people the easiest way to remember it is I don't think there's an exception to this rule either. I always want to see more room below your chin than above your head.
Yes.
So we can, you know, the rule of thirds and everything, but then people forget about that. I'm like, just more room below your chin. So we want to see those hand gestures just like we would across from a desk or across from a conference room or a coffee table.
Do you find yourself watching television or watching and seeing how it's you would think that the virtual presentation would as a person makes more money and the level is, you know, somehow that's commensurate with their virtual presentation, but for whatever reason you'll see, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, being interviewed in his wine cellar with his phone, you know, or someone with their laptop clearly on their lap because it's flapping the camera.
Yeah, they're in an earthquake. I'm
oh
like, get
God.
To safety, run to higher ground.
It just makes me tweak out.
My husband watches CNBC every morning. And so like, I'll go down to get coffee and I'll turn around. I'm like, there's a billionaire who you can't hear him. The camera quality is somehow worse than 720, staring at the ceiling, like counting his chins. I don't know who this is or what they're talking about, because I am so distracted by how poorly the sound and presence is.
We'll get right back to the show, but first I wanted to tell you about Stream Like a Boss with the amazing Tanya Smith. Whether you're a coach, consultant, or creator, Tanya's got that magic to turn your live streaming skills into a powerful lead generation engine, transforming those chirping crickets into cash-paying clients with a revolutionary boss framework. The link to check it out is here in the show notes, or you can head on over to streamlikeaboss.tv. Hey, and tell Tanya that Dealcaster sent you. Now back to the show.
It cracks me up. I mean, I look at it and think, do people look at these people and think, well, maybe it's just not as important as you think it is, right? So if you know, a superstar shows up on some talk show and they're at home and it's awful. They look like they're in witness protection and in an earthquake or whatever. Do you think people might look at that and go, well, you know what? It's not as important to look at that great because look at this person. This person, you know, doesn't, you know, I look as good as that person. Do you think that's what people think, or are they just,
they don't.
No judgment?
Like, I keep thinking that they will do that, but they don't. And the other fascinating thing is people always think that, you know, with the people I work with, they're like, oh, it's got to be, you know, the older people that are maybe, you know, more nervous about how they look. It is across the board. The amount of people, I've had people in their 70s and I've had people in their 20s, men, women, you name it, across the board. And they're like, I can't record a video until I've gotten a haircut and I need to go buy new shirts and I need to do all this stuff. And I'm like, no, you don't. Mm-hmm. Right. So like they really, again, going back to that like professional mask. And so you'll see a lot of videos I post on LinkedIn. Obviously, I know how to have a great setup, right? I know how to come across well, but I intentionally post videos even where I don't even have my fabulous Hollyland Lark wireless mic. Right?
Available in the carousel on Amazon.
In the carousel with a gimbal. You know, we have all the gear, but I will purposefully, you know, do it after a workout when I'm sweaty and my hair is gross and I'm outside and I'm just hand-holding it, right? Because really, the more important thing is, and I say this 1,000 times, content over production. So if you have the best microphone, the best lighting, the best background, the best everything, but your content sucks, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's where we've just got to get people comfortable on video, have you show up. And that's where, I'm working with financial advisors. Terribly boring stuff, right? Nobody
really
wants to hear more about Social Security claiming strategies. Important, yes, but like not that exciting. So that's where I really try to work with people. I'm like, what is your personality, right? What are your hobbies? How can we get that to come across? Because it's that personal brand. It's a relationship business. So like, you want to find the people that want to work with you. So across my advice, I'm like, I don't want you all to look the same. I don't want you all to sound the same. Mm. I need to figure out who are you? You know, if we were hanging out, having cocktails, you know, who is that? Now let's let that person come through.
I love
Katie,
that.
Katie, going back to these financial advisors, and we hit on this a little bit before the show. Why do you think they get so caught up in, we'll call it regulations, like, oh, well, I can't talk about that because I might, you know, lose my license or something. But, you know, people like you, we talked about Winnie's son. I mean, you guys talk about everything and you don't look like you're in jail right now.
It's a fake background. No, I'm just kidding. It's real. I'm in a very nice jail. It's like really when we peel back the layer, it's just fear, right? That's like the easiest excuse that advisors can have is compliance won't let me. And so I hear that all the time. Even advisors that say, oh, I want to do video. And they're like, but compliance won't let me. I'm like, have you asked? You know, and a lot of times they haven't. They just assume they can't. And so if any advisor listening and they're like, you kind of want to, I always say, look, being a compliance person, also probably not the most fun job, right? Like we've got to give them some sympathy. And we talked about earlier, a lot of people, podcast, video, they'll do 3 and then never do it again. So it's tough to be a compliance person. You're like, hey, I'm going to invest this time. I'm going to work with this person. They're going to do 3 and never do it again, right? So I think for compliance, it's also easy to be like, you know what? I don't think you're going to be consistent with it. Let's just say no. So work with them. And this is where I'm like, 1 to 2 minute videos. Don't be sending in 18 minute long videos, right? Keep it super short, build that consistency, keep sending it into compliance. And then they get to know you. They realize you're not saying crazy things and it's just easier from there on out.
How much do you encourage them to do like live takes, not necessarily taking the one take you record, but yeah. I think a lot of times people will take just do the video and then they'll over edit themselves. And then they either A, don't sound like themselves because they've over edited it, or they just never send it out because they're taking too much concentration on trying to edit them. So how do you work with someone to get comfortable doing it multiple times until they feel like they've done the right video?
So one of my rules when I'm like just starting out with people, and again, having that sandbox. So if you work in a larger company, create a little sandbox of, advisors in your company. If you're in a study group, do it in your study group. If you want to call me, right? But have that little sandbox. And I always tell people, upload your first take. Because often I hear from people who are like, I did 18 takes. And here's the thing. I always tell people, I'm like, I see my job as finding every barrier that advisors have to creating video and then finding a way to kind of break down that barrier. So when I hear people doing 18 takes, I'm like, that's a recipe for failure. Yeah. Nobody should have that kind of time, right? That's frustrating. It's not fun. And honestly, your 18th take is probably way worse than your first take.
Yeah.
That's why you've got to do it and you have to get it out to other people. Because like I said earlier, what you think about it doesn't matter. So that's you might think, oh, I messed up one word. Do you know how often, even in videos that I have on YouTube, I make up words? I don't know where I got this skill, right? I've obviously been doing this for a long time. And I'm like, I will make up words. Has anybody ever once called me out on it?
No. That's you. That's your personality. And then people know that it didn't come from ChatGPT because it doesn't exist there. At least not yet.
I mean, it does hallucinate. And apparently I hallucinate. We're a good little pairing there.
All right. I love that. Okay, so this has got my squirrel brain bouncing around here. So when you're working with people, because there's a balance here, like create the cockpit is sort of, so that you have everything, you're not setting something up every time you do a video, right? You got to, but there's also that balance of like getting outside or doing something that you like. Maybe it's walking the dog or going for a hike or those kinds of things, and getting yourself used to filming yourself doing that. But somebody that's just starting out, is a financial advisor, one of your clients, like how do you get them to, get themselves set up in a what I call a cockpit? There's a pilot analogy there for you. And also like have that balance of more authentic, I'm out doing whatever I do to, that's my passion kind of thing.
Yep. I love that. I'm so glad you asked, because that's usually like the first assignments I give people.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, get away from your desk. Because we also don't realize kind of the mindset that we're naturally in. When you're at your desk, you've got all the dings, the notifications, the phone going off. You have people stopping by your office. I often have cats jumping on my head, right? But advisors tend to like be hunched over the desk all day long, right? Not good for our posture. You've got the compliance brain, and we're not in a naturally creative state. So I do actually always tell people before I even like give them equipment recommendations, go outside. Like that's the first assignment. And I usually tell people like take a couple of weeks, do not record any content that has to do with business.
We're going to get right back to the show, but first I wanted to introduce you to the amazing Cloudlifter CL1 from Cloud Microphones. This amazing little blue box boosts your dynamic podcast mic signal for pristine audio quality in just seconds. Jim and I love ours, and you can snag one of these CL1s or new Cloudlifter Xs for yourself from the links in the show notes below. Elevate your audio content with the Cloudlifter. Now back to the show.
So again, if you got that little sandbox, go outside, and if you're out for a walk, like grab your phone. If you've got your dog on a leash, right? Introduce your dog to us. Yeah. Tell us about your day. You know, how many meetings did you do? Do you have a success story that day? You know, did you get to the gym? Like, don't talk about business stuff, because that's why we need to figure out like what is your personality and getting you comfortable on video. Because if you go straight to all those other things, and again, it kind of breaks our brain. And we're overthinking, we're trying to process too many things. And so taking that time to get that comfort. And then when you're outside, right, you're standing, I'm standing now, I'm always standing for, you know, meetings and stuff like this, our energy is better, right? It's better for our posture. I always tell people, I'm like, get the power pose, you know, and that like tells our brain that everything's okay. And so when we stand up, right, it's like this physiological response for like, I'm in control. And then it's good for your posture, you know, looking up. If you're outside, you're breathing fresh air, you're out in the environment, you know, so much better than kind of being in fluorescent lights in a potentially dark office hunched over. So like, do that. Tell your body it's okay. Like, take that deep breath. And then we often find, right, many of us have our best ideas in the shower. Well, go out for a walk. Like, it's my favorite way of multitasking, right? Yeah. Like, you're getting fresh air, you're getting exercise, you're getting away from your desk, you're having that good thinking time. And then whatever comes to mind, if you're like, wow, three clients have asked me this week, you know, what do I think about interest rates because they want to buy a vacation home? Cool. Grab your phone and pretend, and always, always pretend, whether you're doing a one-to-one video or a video that you hopes go viral, you hope goes viral, pretend you're just talking to one single person.
Yeah.
So like pretend you're on a FaceTime call, right? And so pretend that that client just asked you a question and you're just answering it. Like, oh, a lot of clients have been asking me lately, what do I think about this? Here are my thoughts.
Great easy advice. Breezy. Great advice. You know, it used to be a time, Katie, where, you know, somebody like me would be outside holding their phone up and doing a video and I would feel weird about it. But now, yeah. I mean, you know, there's no excuse, right? I mean, everybody, yeah. I mean, like people are doing all kinds of stuff by themselves with a phone to get some special TikTok thing or whatever. I don't feel, you look weird not doing it anymore. I mean, it's like, so there's really not, I just feel like there's no excuse for someone to say, I just don't like to do video for myself. You know, do you work with anybody like that where you feel like you have to convince them, or by the time they get to you, you're like, you know, they already know, they just need to know how to do it.
Yeah. So I actually won't work with people that I had an intro call like a month ago with an advisor who literally said, like, he used those words. He's like, you know, convince me that I need to use video. And I said, no. Right? If you don't want to use video, then we're not a good fit and I'm not going to try to convince you.
Yeah, we get that conversation a lot with people who are more traditional podcasters who have been doing audio only for years, and they just are, you know, just like, I don't want to do video. And I always say, well, that's fine. You just won't get found as much. I mean, if you're okay with that, you know, you don't have to do video if you don't want to do video. But you know, if you want to get found more, and maybe, you know like and trust, which you talked about earlier, you might want to change your mind or something. So this just came to mind because we were talking a lot about the cockpit and the planes and everything. So now you and your husband are both pilots. Do we have that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. When's the last time you actually piloted a plane? Like you got in the plane and you were the pilot?
Two weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
We own a plane. We have a plane, yeah.
All right. Well, you own a plane. Well, it's good to be Katie Braden. So when you do, you know, I know enough to be dangerous when it comes to this, but, you know, I would imagine when you get into your plane as a pilot, you have a huge checklist of items that you have to do. There are, because it's like, you're
checklist.
Yeah, you're thousands of, you know, you're thousands of feet in the air. You're taking your own life and whoever's with you, you know, into your hands. So that, do you take that sort of mentality into what you're doing with someone as far as like, make sure, you know, check, make sure you're doing all of those things. And I haven't met, you're shaking your head. Yes. Yeah. So I'd love to hear how that checklist works for people that you work with on video.
It works really well because otherwise, and I do tell people I intentionally don't give them the checklist in the beginning because a lot of people need to learn some of the things the hard way, and it's nothing dangerous, right? And I'm sure you guys have done it. Everybody has recorded a video and hit play and there was no audio.
Yep.
We've all done it. We've all recorded a video gone to hit record again and realized we actually weren't ever recording. Hit record at the end, right? Some of those things you just kind of have to do. So I kind of, it's like a maybe my own hazing for people, just for my own amusement. But then once you've done it, then you kind of realize, okay, I need a checklist, right? So it's almost like, again, I don't want to convince anybody that they do. But once they've done that, they're like, okay, if I had a checklist, it would make it easier. So again, we think about removing distractions in virtual meetings and videos, but then it's also removing all of our own, I don't want to say head trash, but just like analysis paralysis, right? I was trying, I was not successful, really, to learn to play golf in high school. And I remember I was like learning everything. It was like, you know, your thumb here and your finger here and this goes this way. And then you're back upside down, in and out. And I was like, I don't know what to do, right? Yeah. There was way, way too many things. And so then I started hitting worse. Like the more I learned how to do things correctly, the worse I got.
Wow.
And so checklist, not sitting there and thinking about, did I do this? Did I do that? I forgot this. I forgot that. Just follow the checklist. Make sure you've double checked everything. You're good to go. Like eliminate your own analysis paralysis so you can just focus being you, breathe, have a shot of tequila if that helps calm the nerves.
There we go. For you. There we go.
You got Chris going now.
Yeah.
I don't judge, but whatever works for people.
Right. And, you know, make sure that the dog's in the backyard and not barking on your audio, you know, all those things. And ultimately, though, I think, especially if we're doing, you know, a client call or, you know, a live video like we're doing, like if Jim had a dog and his dog starts barking, I mean, is it that big of a deal? I think people freak out on the littlest things when all they got to do is just, hey, like if you don't see it in your face, it's not that big. For years, I played in bands. And if I played the wrong note, the only person that knew that I played the wrong note were me and maybe the guitar player. And that's about it. And if as long as you don't make a weird face, nobody knows. Right. And so I think, you know, a lot of times people are just afraid to fail and no one knows you're failing.
We're going to get right back to the show, but first I wanted to tell you about the game changer for your audio setup. Of course, it's the one and only Shure SM7B microphone. This iconic beauty is a go-to for top-notch podcasts. You've seen it on streams. It's the perfect microphone for any environment. You don't need a fancy studio. It's got built-in protection that handles background noise like a pro. Jim and I love ours, and you can level up your audio game today. Just check out the show notes for the links. Now back to the show.
In this space.
No one is your feeling, but also like it's those things are so much more interesting, right? So yeah. I did I was out for a run, I don't know, 2 years ago, and I got an email while I was gone from someone that introduced me to someone else that I was like, oh wow, this is a really great introduction. And I got back and I mean I was sweaty, I was in Florida, you know, humidity, bright red from running. And I was like, crap. I was like, I didn't want to wait too long, right? Shower and do all that. And so I hopped on, I just did a quick one-to-one video and I was like, hey, you know, thanks so much for the introduction. Great to meet you. And still to this day, I mean, that was, 2 or 3 years ago. Every time I now talk to him, he's like, hey, have you been running lately? So we forget that those things are often, you know, more memorable and it builds rapport faster versus if you just have your beautiful mahogany bookshelf behind you and everything looks great and you just have, you know, your degrees and some books, like, what are you going to do with that, right? You kind of, it's not that interesting. So yeah, when I record videos in my plane, when I talk to people, everybody's like, oh yeah, what's the last flight you went on? Where are you going next, right? Having conversations that have nothing to do with business, but they're building rapport, which is so much more valuable and important.
Katie Braden, you're awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, go to advisorvm.com. And even if you're not a financial advisor, you need to bookmark this website. Look at all this. Here's a picture of her, and I'm guessing this is your husband. Is that right?
Yeah.
You ditch the desk. Fresh air, fresh content. We talked about that. There's a ton of great tips that, you know, for folks that aren't just financial advisors. And of course, go to the YouTube channel as well. which is Advisor VM. Lots of great content there as well. And I guess, you know, if we're gonna wrap here relatively quickly, Katie, if I'm out there right now and I've got my phone and I've got just a webcam, but I know I need to do video. What's the small thing that somebody can do right away to get going and do that first video?
Think about, you know how often we think about people and we're like, oh, I haven't talked to Chris in a while. I need to call Chris. And then we get distracted and we never do.
Yeah.
The next time you have that thought, or if there's somebody that comes to mind as soon as I said that, send them a video.
Nice.
And just say hi.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, Chris, it's been a minute. Hope everything's going great. You know, you have any fun summer plans? Just want to say how much I appreciated you having me on Dealcasters. You know, talk to you soon. Short and sweet. Like, max 45 seconds.
I love that. And what do you use to as the software to do that again?
So if it's like a friend or family member, just text it. Do the easy thing. Just text it.
Yeah.
For me, if I'm just kind of sending it out and I don't kind of expect a video back, I really like BombBomb.
Oh, okay.
If I do want a video back, then I will use VideoAsk. But Vidyard, if you already use Loom, like, again, don't get into analysis paralysis. If you have something that works, just do that.
That's true. And I think that advice is so true in more than just doing video. If you have something that works, just do that, right? It's like if the microphone you have is a $40 Audio-Technica 2100, don't worry about spending $500 for the Joe Rogan mic. You know, get something that just is going to get you closer to getting that video done. It works in so many ways. Katie, thank you for making our show better today. This was
awesome. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. This was a lot of fun. Yeah. And even our friend Davidson's All Natural Gym, you know, who gets another plug, is just decided to.
We do have a pointer from Dr. Hicks for Katie, though. He said, "No Kila before flying the plane, Katie."
No what?
No tequila.
8 hours
flying.
Bottle of throttle.
What? What was that again?
It's the general rule is 8 hours bottle to throttle.
8 hours bottle to throttle. So like once you have a drink, you have to wait 8 hours before you can get. Okay. I didn't know that. See, I learned something every one of these shows. And that was it. 8 hours bottle to throttle. I love it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. For those that have joined us live, 8 hours bottle to throttle. And as always, don't fear the gear.
Thanks for listening to Dealcasters. Congratulations, you've taken another step forward in your content creation journey. Please don't forget to hit the subscribe or follow button here in your favorite podcast player so you can be reminded every time we drop an episode.
We love hearing from our listeners and viewers. And if you're wanting to watch our shows live on Amazon, feel free to follow Dealcasters Live as well at dealcasters.live. Follow us on Twitter or subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we also included added content that you cannot find anywhere else.
If you have questions about this episode or have something you want us to review, you can also email us at dealcasters@dealcasters.live. Thanks again for listening, and you know the deal. Don't fear the gear.